Hey everybody, Victor here from Trust Shoring. And since I've been, if you've been following me for a bit, I have been talking about the importance of the legal aspect when working with remote people, remote developers, outsourcing development for a very long time. And this is why I'm super excited to get some very professional help today. We will be talking to Omid Tabier, managing partner at Optimist Legal, and they are a law firm specializing on SaaS, you know, contractual stuff, but also getting everything ready to raise funding, exit your business, things like that. Today, we'll start off a mini series about legal stuff with Omid about one of the most important things when working with any type of remote people, and that is going to be intellectual property. So anything we need to know about IP agreements and how that implies to selling my business, what a property inventions assignment agreement is, what that does and what it entails. And this is going to be crucial for you, whether you want to sell your business today or in 50 years, it really doesn't matter. You need to start paying attention to this today, and we'll figure out why. So, Omid, welcome, welcome. It's good to see you again. How are you? And well, maybe just start by introducing yourself. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Omid. I am the managing partner at Optimist Legal. We are a SaaS-focused corporate business law firm. What we do is we help SaaS founders with their corporate contract needs. So we draft contracts, we negotiate contracts for SaaS founders all the way from formation, which is starting your business, to exit, which is selling your business. So we do all of the contracts from starting your business to selling your business. So a little bit about what I do. So I've been a lawyer for almost 10 years. I've worked at major startups like Hyperloop, helping them raise multiple rounds of funding. I've worked with accelerators like 500 Startups, Plug and Play, which are some of the accelerators out of Silicon Valley. I've been in-house at a number of other companies as well, one of which sold to private equity. And I've worked at large law firms, small law firms, and now I am the founder of my own law firm. And so that's a little bit about my background. In terms of what people need to be aware of in general, I think you named the thing that people need to be aware of, which is something called a property inventions assignment agreement. It's essentially an agreement that you want to get from anyone who creates anything for your company. So whether that's third-party service providers, whether that's independent contractors, whether that's employees, anyone who creates anything for your company, even if it's an idea, you want to make sure that they're assigning anything that is created for your company to the company. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important to ensure that all of the IP that's created for the company, any asset that's created for the company, any work product that's created for the company is owned by the company. This is actually something that becomes incredibly important when founders go to sell their company. When founders go to sell their company, for example, the acquirer is going to get a list of all of the independent contractors, all of the employees that have ever worked with the company, all the vendors that have worked with the company. And the acquirer is going to go through it. They're going to look at all of the contracts. And what they're going to look for is a provision or a document, specifically a fairly robust document, that specifically says that these people that have worked for the company have assigned all of the intellectual property that they've created for the company, any ideas, any work product, any marketing campaigns, any documents, anything that's been created, any code, anything that's been created has been assigned to the company that they work for. If that document is not there, it's going to be the role of the seller of the company. Sometimes people have to go and they have to track people down. Maybe that person has since left the company and now works at another company. So it creates challenges, it creates difficulties, it creates complexities. Depending on the nature of what that person worked on, it actually could potentially even be a deal breaker. If that person was one of the main contributors to some large aspect of the company. Let's say they created the code base that the entire product is built off of, but they've since left the company and went to work at another company. And now this acquirer wants to buy this company, but there isn't an inventions assignment. The acquirer is going to evaluate that risk of the fact that this person hasn't assigned the IP. Now, people are going to say, what's the likelihood that an issue could occur? Well, that's not really the point. The point is that anyone that creates anything for the company needs to assign their interest in that creation to the company, because that is where the value of the company comes from. Anything that is built and should be owned by the company needs to be owned by the company, so that when the time comes for you to hand this company to whoever wants to buy it, you can fully hand the company over to the buyer. And that's what the buyer is going to look for. So that, I think, is the primary considerations, and something that a lot of founders actually overlook. They don't understand the importance of this seemingly innocuous document that during acquisitions, I can't tell you how many times it comes up where it's like, oh, this person hasn't signed this inventions assignment agreement. We need to make sure and get one from them. That's always going to come up in an acquisition that this matters. So it's an incredibly important thing that founders should be aware of. As I mentioned, it's like a tic-tac. In terms of, the document isn't very long, it could be anywhere from 1 to 3 pages, but its impact is really felt. And that's the thing with legal, these like little landmines can always be there just like lying in wait, and you don't know until someone steps on the landmine and then it explodes and you realize how much of a problem it actually was. And that's the worst position to be in, and that's why it's so important to work with a competent lawyer who knows these sorts of things, because it's like building a building. You have to, you create the foundation, and that's the infrastructure. And as you scale every step of the way, the proper structure has to be in place to ensure that the building is sound and can stand the test of time. It can look many different ways. Some people can include it as a simple paragraph, in an employment agreement or in an independent contractor agreement. And I've seen it be as robust as I mentioned, like a 3-page document with various other clauses inside of the document, because there's like different aspects to the PIIA, right? So it can be as simple as anything that you create is owned by the company, and you hereby assign, any right, title, and interest in any creation that you create to the company that you work for. And then there are like other various provisions that can go along with it. Another provision that you can often see that goes in an inventions assignment agreement is, and if any signatures are required that aren't obtained at any time later down the road become necessary, the party agrees that they will do whatever is necessary to ensure. So there are these like other clauses that go along with the assignment of interest. For example, one of the clauses that I've identified is if any signatures are necessary to obtain from that person, they agree that they will provide those signatures, or maybe like an automatic assignment, for example. So it can be as simple as just a paragraph in a document, or it can be a longer, more robust document. And the more established a company, typically you'll see it as a standalone agreement. There'll be the employment contract or the independent contractor contract, and then there will also be an inventions assignment agreement contract, which is a separate document.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Omid. Stay tuned to episode number 2, where we'll be talking about equity distributions and the most efficient or effective way to do this as a SaaS company. But if you enjoyed this video, be sure to hit the like and subscribe button so that you don't miss the next one and also the other ones that we do on productive remote software development. I'm Victor Perolnik, the founder of TrustString, where we help SaaS companies run productive development teams by doing 2 things. Number 1, we provide the missing tech and product advisory, right, that needs to bring clarity into the software development process. So, for example, that would be a fractional CTO, fractional CPO, but also just answering the question, who should I hire? Who should I work with? Where should they be? Anything around remote software development hiring. And number 2, we actually provide pre-vetted software developers. We're a recruiting firm, so we headhunt the right pre-vetted talent for you. All of our talent is vetted through our fractional CTOs. So very high quality vetting, very fast turnaround time, used by many, many SaaS companies around the world. And the second type of resource that we have are tried and trusted software houses. So we have a network of those. If you need more of a turnkey approach, we can just match you to somebody who is a fit and who is tested by us. So feel free to book a call if you're in need of a developer. My calendar is in the description. Again, feel free to subscribe to just learn more. We're happy to answer any sort of questions right in the comments. Thank you.